So with Child Passenger Safety Week running internationally from the 9th to the 16th of September, I think it's only fitting that we see the conversation around the importance of children's safety in motor vehicles, not only here in South Africa, but globally take the center stage. Some pretty interesting facts is that local studies have indicated that only 7% of South African children are secured in car seats when traveling in a vehicle. This results in thousands of horrific deaths every year. Now, despite the law that every child under the age of 3 should be securely strapped into a car seat, a shocking 93% of motorists, taxi drivers, bus services, etc., flaunt this law, which is not effectively enforced by local and national police. But to tell us a bit more in terms of the National Child Passenger Safety Campaign, we do have online the National Sales Manager at Maxi Cozy, and that is Mohammed Kaka. Now, of course, you know, the importance of child safety or Child Passenger Safety Week, I think, is something we really need to get a conversation going around. Many a time we just see children not even strapped with seatbelts in cars, basically left to their own devices on back seats. Sometimes we even see parents driving with them in front seats. How important is child passenger safety?
Okay, so I think the level of safety that we advocate to our children in terms of gentle things like in the house, going to school, making sure that they're always safe, is something that we've been continuously been thinking about. But when it comes to actually traveling in a vehicle, nobody understands the dangers or what could actually happen in the case of a collision to a child that hasn't been restrained. And that's something that we want to try to get people to get more and more understanding of, because simply just getting into a vehicle, locking your doors and believing that your child is now safe in an environment, if they are not correctly strapped, unfortunately, that's not going to be the case.
Now, in the event of an unfortunate accident, what exactly happens to a child on impact?
Okay, so I think the basic or mere understanding of what's actually happening when you're actually traveling in a vehicle is that the vehicle is traveling at a specific speed. You, in fact, or all bodies within that vehicle are traveling at exactly the same speed. So when you come to a sudden stop, you're basically looking at a body that needs to be kept back. May that be 60 kilometers per hour, 80 kilometers per hour. And your mass actually triples, and it actually grows exponentially. So effectively, a child is probably weighing about 7 or 8 kilos, could effectively weigh about 100 kilos.
Wow.
And 100 kilos then hitting through a windscreen or hitting against the seat or dashboard in front, and I think you can understand what the consequences will be thereof.
Absolutely. Quite shocking and concerning indeed. Now, in terms of National Child Passenger Safety Campaign, you know, for this week, what exactly are we advocating? What is the call that we are putting out?
Okay, so what we're trying to do is we're trying to make parents, caregivers, or anybody that's actually traveling with children, or you could be picking up a neighbor's kid. Try to get some sort of an understanding or campaign going where we're actually trying to make people understand the consequences of that. The minimum that we'd like to do is to actually have drivers, per se, in South Africa, turn around and look at their passengers and go, hold on, that child sitting at the back, what would happen if I had a collision now? Is that child going to be adequately secured by the seatbelt in the car? And you may find that more than often, it's not going to be the case. So you find children that are under 1.5 meters in height are not catered for by a normal seatbelt in a vehicle. So we want to get that minimum message out there to say, check around you in your vehicle and understand, are my children going to be safe in a collision?
Now, of course, we recall back in 2015, I think it was May 2015, when that law came into effect that children under the age of 3 need to be strapped in. It's now a law in the country, but we've seen, you know, that it hasn't been as effectively enforced, so to speak. You know, who do we speak to in terms of that? You know, is it road traffic management? How do we get that conversation going as well? That, hey, you know, when the road traffic management see parents, for instance, that don't have their children strapped in, you know, should they be stopping them and addressing the matter as well?
Most definitely. I mean, it should come definitely from road traffic management. There needs to be a lot more active policing when it comes to actually looking out for these type of things. And I think that the law enforcement agencies need to start training and educating their members to ensure that this law is actually put into place. But apart and over and above from that is that what we really think is necessary is for an understanding to come from the drivers itself. Simply just abiding by a law purely because you may receive a traffic fine or it doesn't seem right without any understanding is not exactly the ideal. We want people to get to the proper understanding of I'm not just doing this to abide by the law. I'm doing it to save my child's life.
Most certainly. Now, you know, many time, you know, we think, oh, we're just going down the road to buy a loaf of bread at the shop around the corner. I'm just going to be out 5 minutes, 2 minutes on the road. My child is going to be fine. Why do we need to change the way we think?
Statistically, most of the collisions that actually do happen happen very close to home. And I think we need to take into consideration that any collision, anything above 20 kilometers per hour is going to have some sort of consequence. Now, your trip from there or going to the school around the corner, you're definitely going to be moving at speed in which when you do have a collision, you will endanger your child's life. It may not be something, may not be a fatality, but it could be head, neck, or spinal injury that could permanently disable them.
Now, of course, we have moms and dads at home listening, probably on their way to work, dropping their kids off at school, and they probably think, oh, you know what, this weekend I really need to get my child either a car seat, a booster seat. What do they need to bear in mind when making these purchases?
Okay, so I think fortunately in South Africa we have a very wide range of car seats, and they suit all sorts of different budgets. Most of the car seats, or in fact all of the car seats that are sold through all your baby retailers, have been approved to some sort of ECE standard, which means that what you're actually buying is actually a safety device. Most important thing is, obviously, you get one that first is going to suit your budget, and most importantly, it will cater for your needs. So you may have multiple children traveling in your vehicle, so you may look at getting a car seat that can actually house three or four different kids. Also very important is to ensure that, you know, the installation of the car seat, that it works well. So most of that is done at purchase level.
Now, of course, is it as simple as purchasing the car seat and strapping your kid in? What do we need to know about the actual strapping our kids in? Do we just plop them in, get the harnesses on, and then it's good to go? What are some of the mistakes that we as parents tend to make when utilizing our car seats?
Okay, so there's effectively three different main things to look at. The first being the actual grouping of your car chairs itself. So as a child goes through from all the way from birth up until a height of about 1.5 meters, you're looking at three physiological stages. The first being up until about 15 months, in which your child's head is heavier than the rest of the body. That's particularly a child that you always carry around supported. Mm. That particular child requires specific car chair and will need to face rearward in a vehicle. You then get from the 1 to 4 year category, which then has a child that steps up to 5-point safety harness, is a toddler, is not totally capable of supporting himself enough. So hence, you get a 5-point safety harness to deal with that. And then finally, the next stage is a child who could be anything from 4 years, goes all the way up until 9 years. And at that point, you need to ensure that they're over 1.5 meters to ensure that they can now utilize the seatbelt of a car. The other very important thing is to follow the manufacturer's guidelines when it comes to installing that car chair. So there are two ways of installing a car chair. One is with seatbelt and one with ISOFIX, which comes pre-installed in your vehicle. So that is the second establishment that's going to be very important in your decision. And I think finally, it's how your lifestyle orientates. If you're the type of person that doesn't have much time to continuously check your car chairs, you'll find them in the car chairs that actually make life a lot more easier, have electronics that tell you. So the last part is to factor in your lifestyle, how often you're traveling and where you're going to be going to in terms of using the car chair, whether you're going to move it from one vehicle to another.
I think a common mistake, you know, parents tend to make is, you know, having the car seat face the front of the car. You know, we've heard in instances where they say the rear car rear facing car seat, should we say, is the safest. How true is that?
Okay, so let's take a child that's under 15 months, and the research basically indicates anything under 15 months, your child's feet are heavier than the rest of the body. And I think the common sense that prevails around that is that if you were typically carrying a six-month-old child, you would never carry that child's head unsupported because the head is always dangling. So they do not have enough neck or muscle support to keep the head up. Effectively, if you're facing and forward-facing, all your direction of travel is in one direction. And what that would cause, it would cause all the weight to shift to the head and would basically cause serious head, neck, or spinal injury. If not, worst-case scenario, it could be a fatality too.
Now, it's certainly been an interesting conversation, Mohammed. Any final tips for our listeners today?
I think the most important thing about Child Passenger Safety Week is that we're trying to get onto our Facebook campaign where we have parents talking about it. People are sharing experiences of having collisions with kids in car seats and what the effect has been and why they would never travel without a car seat. So first thing is we'd like to get people on board there so that they can get an understanding of what's actually going on. Most importantly, the message we'd like to carry is that our attempt is to save one child's life or prevent one child from actually being injured on our road tomorrow. But together as a collective, when we see these things not taking place, we need to start becoming more vocal about them and start spreading the message and understanding as to why children need to be kept in car chairs in South Africa with the high road statistics we have in terms of collisions.
Well, Mohammed, thanks so much for creating the awareness for us this morning in terms of Child Passenger Safety Week and the campaign. We do appreciate your time.
It's been a pleasure, and thanks a lot for the opportunity.
Only a pleasure. And that was the National Sales Manager for Maxi Cozy, Mohammed Kaka. They're speaking to us in terms of a Child Passenger Safety Week, the campaign, as well as if you have a child under the age of 12, under the age of 3 as well, they need to be strapped into a car seat or alternatively a booster seat, just to ensure that they are really safe when you are out on the roads.